When Christy and I were engaged and looking towards getting married, I was living about 6 hours away from my family, living by myself in Macon, Missouri, north central Missouri, preaching the gospel. I had just started preaching full time, and there was an older gospel preacher living about 50 miles away that befriended me. Kind of took me under his wing. His name is Cecil Douthat. He passed away a couple of years ago, but he proved to be a good friend and a good influence upon me during that time. And he was excited for me, excited for Christy and I both as we were getting married. And I remember some advice he gave me about marriage as I was beginning to enter into that with Christy. He said, "Marriage can either be the closest thing to heaven on earth or the closest thing to hell on earth. It all depends on how you work at it." And I've remembered what he has said. Remembered what he mentioned, what he had said. Marriage can either be the greatest blessing that we experience in this world, in this life, or it can be the greatest curse upon us. It all depends on what kind of a marriage we have. We cannot control other people. We talked about that this morning. We cannot control other people, but we can control ourselves. This morning we talked to the wives and what wives can do to help their husbands be better husbands, and we came to the conclusion that being the best wife you can be will help your husband to be the best husband he can be. Well, turnabout is fair play. So this afternoon we're going to talk about what husbands can do to help their wives be better wives, and you know where I'm going to go with that. We're going to talk about how husbands can be the best husbands that they can be. I joked with some fellows this morning that I could get up for the sermon this afternoon and say, you're doing a great job, just keep it up, and we could just close the sermon there. But the reality is that we don't have enough time to look at all the scriptures and to make all the necessary applications to address husbands and what we ought to do in our marriages, in our homes, in our families. What I want us to do this afternoon is I want us to examine just one verse of Scripture. That was read for us a few moments ago, 1 Peter chapter 3 and at verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and at verse 7. "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." I want to take this verse and I want to break it down. I want us to look at it piece by piece, and I want us to see what we as husbands need to be doing in order to help our wives to be better wives. Number one, we're told to dwell with our wives. So that's where we need to start. Husbands, you need to dwell with your wife. That's the first responsibility that's given to us in this passage. And that means, number one, you need to live with her. You need to live with your wife. You need to live together. Isn't it interesting in the Old Testament how when God made the stipulation that when a man and a woman got married, that he was freed up from military duty for 1 year? He was not allowed to be shipped off away from his new bride for the first year of marriage. Why? Because God in his wisdom knew that that first year was very important. That they needed to live together to learn how to be with each other. And to learn from one another. And to learn how to be husband and wife. I believe we can learn from that today and see that that is a good scriptural principle for us to abide by. If it wasn't good for man to be alone, and that's the reason that the woman was created in Genesis chapter 2, if it wasn't good for the man to be alone, then why is it good for him to leave his wife alone? I know we're living in a day and time in which couples are separated from each other because of work. And sometimes that separation lasts for a long time, for months or maybe even years. Tell you, brethren, that is not a good arrangement. The Bible tells us the first thing, dwell with your wife. Live with your wife. She needs companionship just like you do. especially if she's been home taking care of small children. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 5 says, "Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." The Scriptures do not encourage long separations between husband and wife. Prolonged time apart will cause a strain and a temptation. Not only does it mean that you need to live together, it also means that the husband and the wife need to spend some time together. They don't need to be ships that are passing here and there, going on their busy way and caring about their busy schedules. Husbands need to go to work and provide a living for their family, but at the end of the day, they need to come home and be with their wife, be with their children. That doesn't mean it's wrong and sinful to pursue hobbies from time to time and have some interests that are outside of the home and outside of the workplace. But by and large, how much time are you spending with your wife and children versus how much time you're spending with your friends and your hobbies? We're told to dwell with our wives. We talk about spending quality time with our children. Do you spend quality time with your wife? Do you spend time with her, time being her husband, time being her companion? The verse continues that we are to dwell with them with understanding. Not just be there in body, but we need to be there for them in spirit as well. We need to dwell with our wife with understanding. What do we need to understand? Well, we need to understand that men and women are different. God created us differently. And that's obvious. Doesn't take very long in married life to realize just how different your spouse is from yourself. But God not only created us differently, but God created those differences for a reason. We supplement some things that are lacking or some things that are deficient in our spouse. Just as the wife helps the husband also helps the wife. And so there are differences there, but God calls upon us to overcome these differences by putting forth the effort to understand one another. So husbands, we need to dwell with our wife with understanding. We need to understand as best we can, and it will be a lifelong journey and a lifelong effort, but we need to understand as best we can how women are different from men. Your wife is not like you. Women are different from men. But it goes even further than this. We need to understand and appreciate how our wife is different from the other women that we know. Our wife is most likely different from our mother. There may be some exceptions to that. But your wife is different than your mother. Your wife is different from your sister or sisters. You need to understand how she is different and respond appropriately to these differences. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, husbands are told to love their wives. And that's an admonition that's found several places in the New Testament. But the Colossians passage is interesting because it adds another command, that husbands are to love their wives and not be bitter towards them. It's an interesting command that's given to us, husbands, but it's given for a reason. And the reason, I believe, is because of the differences between the man and the woman, and how us men can at times be slow to understand and appreciate these differences, and the things that our wives do, and the way they react to situations, moods that they go into and swing out of. That's the way God created women. And it's easy to become frustrated. And it's easy to give in and to become bitter towards our wife. We need to rise above that temptation. We need to try the best we can to understand our wife and to not become bitter, but to appreciate the differences and the uniqueness of each of us. We need to understand what her likes are and what her dislikes are, the things that upset her and the things that make her happy, what her expectations may be of us. We need to understand her role as a keeper of the home. We talked this morning about how that's part of the role that God has given the wife. Well, we as husbands need to understand what that role is. We need to make sure that we have proper scriptural expectations of our wife in that role as homemaker. And we need to support her in that role. Give her the freedom that she needs in order to accomplish that goal that God has given unto her. There's a beautiful picture that is drawn for us in the 128th Psalm. Back in this psalm in the Old Testament, the psalmist paints a picture of domestic life, of how beautiful the home life is supposed to be. It's written to the man, written to the husband. Verse 3 says, "Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus says, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." The wife, if she is in the home and she is nurtured properly, and she's allowed to do what she does best, the scripture says she shall be like a fruitful vine. We're talking tonight about helping your wife be the best wife that she can be. You need to allow her to be fruitful. You need to understand what she needs and give it to her. Understand what she needs from you and make sure that she has it, because men, it is to our benefit that our wives be fruitful and that our wives be the best wife that they can be. So we need to understand them, understand how they are different, understand their likes, understand their role, and allow them to be fruitful in our lives, in our homes, in our marriage. We continue on with the verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 tells us that we are to honor the wife, that we are to give honor to the wife. The idea behind giving honor to something is to bestow upon it praise, to bestow upon it an exalted point of view or an exalted estimation. If you honor something, you are lifting that up in your own estimation. We need to do that with our wife. We need to lift her up. We need to exalt her. We need to put her on a pedestal. Not up where there are some exaggerated expectations of her and unrealistic expectations of her. No. But we need to honor our wife in that we have exalted her as being our wife. Another idea behind honoring a wife is deeming her as being precious and treating her accordingly. Our wife needs to know. Our wife needs to be assured of the fact that she is the most important person in our life, other than Jesus Christ. We need to tell her that, but we also need to show her that. Words are important to women, but actions are as well. How can we honor our wife? Well, number one, let's start by being a man. She didn't marry a boy. She married a man. So start by being a man. Your wife needs a man for a husband. She doesn't need another child to raise. And that's the joke, right? However many children you've got, a woman will say, "Well, I've got one more," raising a husband as well. That's a shameful thing to say. But what would be especially shameful is if it was true, and if she was having to raise a husband along with her children. Your wife has taken your name. She's taken your name. Make sure she has a name that she can be proud of. As she identified with a mature and responsible man. Be a man. Be a leader as well. We talked this morning about how the wife has been given the role of the keeper of the home, and how she has the role of being submissive, and how the man has been given a position of leadership. Well, you need to take that position of leadership seriously, men. You need to take that mantle of leadership seriously. Understand that it does not mean that you're an authoritarian and that you can rule as a tyrant and you can lay down the law and you can lash out punishment at your own whim. That's one extreme. But the other extreme is abdicating all responsibility. No, being the leader in the home means that you are the one who is responsible. You're the one that everyone in that home needs to look to for leadership, needs to look to for making the important decisions. Don't make her do your job and hers as well. Where do you think this liberation movement, women's liberation movement, came from? I believe the fault lies with men who were failing to be the kind of men the Bible calls upon men to be. And so women had to step into that role. And what a shameful thing that is. Be the kind of man God calls upon you to be. And our wives won't have any problems submitting to us in love if we will step up and be the kind of leader we know we need to be. We need to let our wives know that we can be trusted, that we are responsible, and that we are dependable. And this will give our wife a peace of mind. And that peace of mind will allow her to be the best wife that she can be. Also, be a provider. We know the scriptures teach that a man is to provide for his own, that a man is to provide for his family. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So the scriptures call upon the man to provide for his wife and to provide for the children that they are blessed with. Does that mean that it's wrong, it's sinful for a woman to have a job outside the home or nowadays inside the home? I know some people can make a lucrative living inside their home. Does that mean that it's sinful for a woman to do that? No, but the responsibility falls upon the man to provide for his family. Some advice that my mother gave me before I even thought about getting married. She told me, "You have absolutely no business asking anyone to marry you until you can provide for them." Absolutely no business doing that. We need to be providers. That's how we honor our wife. Think about this. The woman that you marry most likely is coming from a home where she has that stability, where she has parents who are providing for her, and she has her clothes, and she doesn't have to worry about where the next meal is going to come from, and she has a comfortable bed to sleep in and a place to stay. What right do you have to take her away from that and ask her to be your wife and not provide that for her? You honor your wife by providing the material things that she needs. But more than that is providing the spiritual leadership that is needed in the home. The spiritual leadership that is to come from the father and not entirely upon the shoulders of the mother. What do we read in Scripture? Well, the book of Ephesians at chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, fathers were charged with instructing their children, training their children spiritually. And the same thing is true in the New Testament. So be the provider of the spiritual leadership in your marriage and in your home. And watch your wife be fruitful. And watch her be the best wife that she can be. Provide for her materially. Provide for her socially. Provide for her emotionally. You know, it didn't dawn on me as a man, as a young man. It didn't dawn on me until I had already been married some time how important it was for a woman to feel safe. And here again is the difference between most men and most women. As a man, you feel pretty safe wherever you're at. But to women, being safe and being secure is very important. I didn't realize that for a while. You want to honor your wife? Don't give her anything to worry about. Provide for her safety as well. Step up to the plate, men. Do what God created you to do and provide. Provide for your wife and provide for your family. Now we are to honor our wife as the weaker vessel. And I've seen this passage discussed and dissected and talked about and tried to be explained away best thing I know to do is to take it as it says. The Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel. Here again, this idea of safety and security comes into play. I know some women can get upset when it's suggested that they are the weaker vessel or the weaker sex. Women need that protection. Women need that safety and that security. Honor your wife by protecting her and by providing that care for her, alleviating that care and concern that she may have. Again, we're talking about helping our wife be the best wife that she can be. What does it mean that she is the weaker vessel, and how do we give honor to our wife as the weaker vessel? One way I've heard this explained is the use of fine china in your home. You know, as I mentioned this morning, you've got the soaps that you're not supposed to use, and you've got the towels that you're not allowed to use. Well, you've also got some dishes that you're not supposed to use, except for when real special company comes over. And then you can get that china out, you can get those dishes out, and they're used, and they're taken care of very carefully. And a lot of times they're put up in a cabinet, right, and put on display. Why? Because they're brittle. Because they're beautiful. Because they're special. Treat your wife that way. Honor her as that which is special. It's not common. It's not every day. You know, there are 4 billion women in this world. Only one of them is your wife. Treat her as she is special. Giving honor to the weaker vessel. How do you honor the weaker vessel? Well, we love her. The husband is to love the wife. Ephesians chapter 5 and at verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church." Our love for our wife is to be equivalent to the love that Christ has for his church. What kind of love was that? He gave himself for the church. Self-sacrificing love. You give yourself to your wife for the rest of your life, and if need be, you'd give your life for her. You wouldn't even have to think about it. You would do it. That's the kind of love that your wife needs to receive, needs to know that she has from you. Reading on down, verses 28 and 29, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." I've seen husbands who are very selfish and very self-centered. And they have all kinds of things for themselves. And they've got hobbies and they've got all kinds of toys, as you would call them. While their wife goes without. While their wife struggles to get by on whatever is left over. Are you kidding me? That's not love. That's not the kind of love that a husband is to have for his wife. That's not honoring your wife as the weaker vessel. So we are to give that sacrificial love to our wife. And also, we need to be affectionate. Well, we pointed out this morning in Titus chapter 2 and at verse 4 that the wife is told to love her husband. And that the word there had to do with that affection, that emotional love. Well, you know what? That needs to be returned. And we need to be affectionate to our wife. We need to be tender and compassionate with her. Remember, honor as the weaker vessel. We need to remember the compliments that we used to give our wife. We need to dig them out, we need to dust them off, and we need to start using them again. Give those compliments. And wives, accept those compliments. Accept them. The best way to stop getting compliments is to start laughing at them when you get them. Don't do that. Accept the compliments. But guys, we're talking about you tonight. Talking about us. Give those compliments. Be affectionate to your wife. Honor her as the weaker vessel. Be kind and be courteous. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Here, this passage is talking about us as brethren. as brethren, we are to be kind to one another. We are to be tender-hearted, and we are to forgive one another. And what a shameful thing it would be for a man to, in the assembly of the church, be kind to his brethren, to be tender-hearted to his brethren, to forgive his brethren, and then to go home and be rude to his wife, and be harsh to his wife, and be unforgiving to his wife. You think that individual is going to stand right before God? We'll get to that in a few moments. How terrible that is, but how true that is. Sometimes we give strangers more kindness and more courtesy than we give those who are closest to us. Let's be kind and let's be courteous to our wife. In 1 Peter chapter 3, now we read verses 1 through 7 just a few moments ago as we began our study, that wives are to be submissive, that husbands are to, and we're studying from verse 7. Look at verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. And we could read on there. That applies to the husband and wife relationship just as much, if not more, than it applies to our relationship as brethren. You want to honor your wife as the weaker vessel, you don't be rude to her. You don't be harsh. You don't be unforgiving. You be kind and you be courteous. And be grateful. As we're digging out those compliments, let's dig out that thank you. I appreciate that. Let's dig those back out as well. Let's show appreciation for everything that our wife has done for us and continues to do for us. Let's learn to say thank you to our wife and let's praise her. Proverbs 31, again, is the passage that talks about the virtuous wife. And talks about the things that she does, but there are also some verses here that talk about what her loved ones do to her and for her. Proverbs 31, verses 28 through 31, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Here's his praise. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Again, remember what I said a few moments ago. There's 4 billion women in this world. But your wife is the one that is special. Doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. She is on that pedestal. Give her that honor. Give her that praise. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Give praise to your wife. Cheer her on. She's cheering you on. Cheer her on as you labor together as one flesh, as husband and wife. Never run down and criticize your wife before other people, either as a joke or seriously. Don't run off and find somebody that you can badmouth your wife to make yourself feel better. Be sure your sin will find you out. Those things have a way of coming back and having an adverse effect upon you. Being unloving, being unkind, being rude, being harsh, being demanding, being ungrateful will never bring out the best in your wife. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Helping your wife be the best that she can be. In short, treat her the way you want to be treated. Give her honor as the weaker vessel. Now the verse continues, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, talking about being heirs together of the grace of life. Remember that it is God who joins the husband and the wife together as one flesh. They are a team. They're not competitors. But they're working together. You need to look upon your relationship with your wife as that one flesh relationship. That you are heirs together of the grace of life. That is, you have a spiritual goal that you and your wife share. Listen to me, young people. It's going to be really hard for you to share this goal with someone who isn't a Christian. Those of you who aren't married, marry a Christian. Marry a Christian. So that you can share this goal together with them. do things together, spend time together, as we've talked about before, but make spiritual things a priority in your marriage, in your home. Help her to be the best Christian that she can be. And that's not done by complaining or criticizing. We've already taken care of that. That's done by encouragement. And that's done by a good example. And that's done by praise. Work together towards spiritual goals and spiritual service. You know, we read 6 times in the New Testament about Aquila and Priscilla. And what's interesting about this husband and wife is every time we read about them, we always read about both of them. We never read about one or the other. They're always mentioned together. Make that a goal for your marriage, that you and your wife are laboring together to further the cause of Christ in your marriage, in your home, in your circle of friends, in the local church. Be heirs together of the grace of life. And then the warning is given at the end of this verse, that your prayers be not hindered. The woman that you married, the woman that you asked to marry you, and she agreed, and she left her home, she left her mother and her father, and she took on your name, and she came into your care, that woman is a child of God. That woman is a daughter of God, a part of His creation. How do you think God would feel about you mistreating His child? To say nothing of how her earthly mother and father would feel. How do you think God would feel about you mistreating His child? If you want to break, husbands, if you want to break your fellowship with God, I'll tell you a quick way to do it, is mistreat your wife. Sin against your wife. That your prayers be not hindered. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33 says that the husband is to love his wife and that the wife is to respect her husband. Be the kind of husband she can respect. And how can a Christian woman respect anyone who is out of fellowship with God because he mistreats his wife? Be the kind of wife that she can respect, and that will help her to be the best wife that she can be. I know that all of us who are married want the best marriages that we can have. We want our spouse to be the best that they can be because we understand that we benefit from that. As husbands, we benefit from our wife being the best wife she can be, and wives benefit from their husbands being the best that they can be. But we can't control the other person. We can influence them for good, but we can't control them, but we can control ourselves. So tonight we're talking about helping our wife be the best wife that she can be. Well, the best way I can do that is by being the best husband that I can be. And there are many other passages that we could look at. But this one verse is good enough to get us started. What do we need to do? We need to dwell with our wife with understanding. Understanding who she is. Striving to learn and to grow in understanding her more and more every day. We need to honor her as the weaker vessel in so many different ways. Putting her up on that pedestal and letting her know how much she means to us. We need to understand that we are heirs together. Spiritually, we are a team. We need to help her to get to heaven. Help her to be the best Christian that she can be. That our fellowship with God would not be severed. That our prayers would not be hindered. Men, husbands, I think if we would give time, consideration, and application of this verse to our lives, it would improve us as husbands, and it would help our wives to be better wives. I thank you for your kind consideration of the things we've had to say, not just this morning, but this evening as well. And hope that some things have been said from Scripture that can help us We can find some room for improvement. Even if we're not having a problem in our marriage, there is always room for improvement. So hopefully this has been beneficial to all of us. If you need to respond to the invitation, we're going to offer it at this time. Maybe you're ready, like one was this morning. You're ready to obey the gospel. Well, we're ready to help you. We'd be glad to hear your confession of faith, and we'd be glad to pause and to witness your baptism. If you're here and you need to make public correction, or you need our prayers for anything, the invitation song is for you. We invite you to let it be known as together we stand and sing this song.